Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you. You'll have to pry it from our cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it. One shot at a time.
Second Amendment Tuesdays continues here with attorney Penny Dean on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. And Penny, you know, we did tease something on the going into the break about your firearms dealer, your licensed federal firearms dealer selling you out.
Yeah. Let me tell you what, and this is where I think that we all have a duty to help each other.
Okay.
We in the firearms community have a duty to help each other. Most people trust their federal firearms dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As they should.
I do mine.
Yeah, absolutely, as they should. But let me tell you about a few promotions that are out there, okay? And I always tell people, here's the problem. A lot of people, I don't know if you recall us talking about Access 2000. It's a software program that the ATF put together. And they give it to manufacturers and dealers if they want it. And they'll give them the computer and they'll maintain it for them. And all they got to do is enter all their serial numbers and data in there. And then the ATF, the kind people that they are, they don't bother you when they have a question about your inventory or where your firearms went. They just log into your computer and pull it themselves, and it saves your labor. Isn't that great?
How convenient.
So normally, you know, the ATF calls and says, what happened to this firearm or that firearm? They have to call, and your employees have to go look in the bound book and give them an answer, right?
Yes.
Well, they're saving you all that trouble. Do you see fishing expedition wrote in big letters here?
Yes.
Yeah. So in other words, I tell people,
don't let anybody tell you that nobody in government does that kind of stuff. It happens in the IRS. It happens in the State Department. It happens elsewhere. Yes.
Well, the other thing is, there's just a million bad things could happen. So I tell any dealer that's thinking about it, the price of freedom isn't free. Okay. You know, our ancestors gave their blood, and we have to give our time and money sometimes to keep ourselves free. And so this gets back to how many of you have ever seen two great American brands back together buying a new Ruger bolt-action rifle between September 1st, 2010 and December 31st, 2010 and receive a free Ruger-branded Carhartt jacket? You think, well, God, that's a great thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what do I got to do to get it? And you read the back, and they say, all you got to do is attach a copy of your 4473 with this.
Which is the sheet you fill out before you buy a firearm.
Right. It tells you the serial number, the make, the model. It tells you other things that I'm sure as heck not going to give strange men, which is my height, my weight, my date of birth, the area that I was born in, place of birth, city and state, Social Security number optional. And I tell people always to option out, never give your Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the make, model, and serial number of your firearm. Now, basically what happens then is you are giving them a gun owner database registration list, all for the price of a new jacket. Okay.
So this goes from a copy of this goes to the manufacturer.
Yes. And the manufacturer is obligated, as is your dealer, to let the ATF in there anytime they want for a criminal investigation or for an annual inspection. And the bottom line is, as it is, the only place legally that should know you purchased a firearm is your FFL. Unless your firearm is used in a crime or there's a trace back, and unless you're unwise enough to purchase two handguns within five business days and they fill out the extra special form on you, no one would know these things.
Form 3310.4.
Yeah, that they say, and that goes to the New Hampshire State Police and generally goes to your chief of police so they can compile a gun owner database registration. Now, Smith & Wesson has offered this, SIG has offered this, and they ask you to send in a copy not only of your 4473, which includes your NICS state transaction number they want. They want everything spelled out for them. And so the question is, people think, well, gee, you know, my dealer's offering me something free. And I tell people that sometimes free things are not free. You know, you need to look at the risk there. And people say, well, has there anything happened yet? Well, the answer is no. And until they confiscated guns in Chicago, nothing happened there when they made them register them.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is that this is a case where I hope the dealers are educating their customers to say, look, do you want to do this? Now, in some particular cases, they're also offering dealer initiatives where they say to your dealer, if you sell so many a thus and so, we'll give you a thus and so rebate per firearm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the dealer, to prove they've done that, is to show them the sales of these firearms. Okay? Which is done by 4473. So I tell people to ask your dealer, hey, dealer, do you participate in these programs? If I buy X gun, do you send back to the ATF proof that I've purchased that gun?
Mm.
Because if a dealer is participating in some of these promotions, the customer may never know about that.
Now, here's a big question that arises out of this, and that is my concerns about the Federal Privacy Act of 1974, which is, well, a little quaint law, but...
You know what I said? 1974 was a long time ago. It's like 1776.
Well, silly me.
You know, 1776. Did that ever happen? You know, that's hundreds of years ago. Do we still need those old pieces of paper?
So what I would want to do is look for the Privacy Act notice on this 4473 and see if it permits dealers and the like to turn this kind of information over to the manufacturers. Because that is a very good question that should be asked as well.
You know what? And I don't know the answer to that. That's an excellent question. I've never done the research for that particular one, and I tell people I do firearms-related things all the time. But even the simplest questions sometimes take hours and hours and hours to answer.
Well, yes, because here's the thing for a lot of people. My basic understanding of the Privacy Act of 1974 is any federal form that's given to you, especially one that asks for a Social Security number, they have to tell you on that Privacy Act notice on the form whether that Social Security number is optional or mandatory, and what happens if you don't provide it. Is there a criminal penalty or not? You know, what right or service will you be denied because you don't provide the number? But I'd also like to know about the other information on that form, whether that Privacy Act prevents the sharing of that other information.
Well, here's the issue. There are several federal laws in place that prevent compiling a firearm owner database, okay? But let me tell you what's happened. Just like the what I call the bad chiefs in New Hampshire that used to get around 156, okay, when they basically initially said, well, you know, the law doesn't say we can't take fingerprints and photographs. So, of course, they made people give fingerprints and photographs to get a license.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, since RSA 159.6 who has been passed, then the bad ones still say they just go get a copy of your driver's license and therefore they get a good color copy of a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, the law doesn't say I can't keep a copy of the driver's license for my records.
Oh, we've known chiefs that have done that too.
Right. and so what you have here when it comes to the feds, what I call the bad ones as opposed to the good ones, okay, they take the law and they stretch it as far as you can stretch it. And they say, well, it doesn't say we can't do this, or it doesn't say we can't do that. And so we've seen some, for a variety of purposes, some what I call keeping of 4473s for a period of time, and there's statutory provisions for how long they can keep them. But the larger issue and the reason the federal law is in place is because we don't want a federally kept gun owner database. You know, it's a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And people, again, you know, we go back to the form where you buy two or more. As of, if the feds get their way, this is an emergency, you know. As of January of this year, when you buy two or more rifles, they're now going to be filling out that form as well.
Exactly. All in the name of the border security.
Yeah. Now, supposedly, you know, they said we're only going to do it in this geographic region, and there's listed states. But if you look at the request, it applies to the entire United States.
Exactly.
So if they truly intended to do it for that area, why didn't they make the request specific to that area.
So dealers in New Hampshire also need to beware because they think, well, it doesn't apply to me, and then turns around when they get audited or get their annual inspection, they may say, hey, okay, where's the records for this transaction? Didn't know I had to keep any. Well, guess what? You do. I can see the trouble coming for them, too.
Do you want me to tell you what? I think it'll be worse than that. I don't think they'll get them that way. I think they'll all of a sudden notify them after it passes that they have to do that because they want that data. Okay, so I think rather than punishing them after the fact, which in my mind in some instances used to happen, I think what they're going to do is they're going to go basically surprise and say you have to do that. Well, I thought it was just the border states. Oh, that isn't what we asked for. Look at our plain, request.
Yep, there you go. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here with Attorney Penny Dean on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. 1-866-823-1077. Now, Penny, coming up in just a few moments, I do want to talk about, next week we'll talk in more detail, but let's try it momentarily, get people start thinking about this, because this is a question that has come up by a lot of our listeners. Transporting their firearm across state lines. And this is something that's going to probably take us a couple of weeks to go through, won't it?
It will take at least a couple weeks because what appears to be another very simple question, it actually is a very long and complex and detailed answer. And it's one of those things that people don't understand the complexities of going from state to state, and particularly if you want to carry that loaded and concealed firearm on your person to be able to protect yourself and your family during times of travel.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see me with my New Hampshire plates in Georgia to go, she's probably not from the area. probably doesn't know where she's going. She might not, unless it happens to be your hometown, a reasonable person can say, this person's probably a little out of their element. They don't live around here. Especially if I don't have a Georgia twang, for example, they'll go, yeah, she's really a northerner. and you're going to look at, and I tell people that I literally plan my trips around what I call Mr. Glock-friendly states.
Okay.
Because the bottom line is, I say, I want to be protected because has any of us who've ever dealt with, I have, like everybody else, what I call a fistful of credit cards, okay? But the bottom line is, the first time this happened to me, I screamed to the moon and I said, you got to be stinking kidding me. I was on a trip and I go to use my credit card and they say it's declined.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know what my limit is and I know how much I'd spent. And I was like, no darn way, right? Go to use my second one, declined. Well, the third one went through. So I immediately called the first two companies and I said, what the heck?
Uh-huh.
They said, well, we shut you down. I go, why? They said, well, your normal spending pattern is different. You've bought gas in this state in a hotel in this state. I go, it's called vacation. It's called a trip. They said, well, you didn't tell us you were going on vacation. I said, excuse me? Excuse me? I said, I didn't tell you I was going on vacation. I have this thing that the tail doesn't wag the dog. And I said, you're right, I didn't, And so their answer was, well, because your spending pattern was different. We were concerned about fraud, and so we shut you down. I said, oh, great. Now that you know it's not fraud and you know it's me, turn me back on so I can use my credit card, right? Oh, we can't do that. I said, what do you mean you can't do that? You shut me off. It's me. What else do I have to answer? Well, once we've shut you off due to fraud, we send you a new credit card to your address. I said, that's really great. I'm now halfway across the country. And I would like to use that credit card because I have like a favorite credit card that I get airline miles on and all that, right?
Well, with that, Penny, we're going to pause it right there. And we will begin our conversation next week about the interstate transport of firearms. And I want to talk about, loaded and concealed. But also, how about, when you have to lock it up, put it in your trunk, and, what the proper way to pack and store that little baby is. So,
yeah,
we'll do that. That'll be a great conversation. And people can ask their questions because even just looking at our neighboring states, there's a lot of different laws surrounding that, isn't there?
There's a whole pile.
All right, well, let's talk about it next week on Second Amendment Tuesdays. In the meantime, how do people get in touch with you?
230-9999.
Thank you, Penny. Talk to you later.
Yep.